I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to...
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph. This is going to be fun.
So much fun.
Our next guest is actually a listener of the show.
Oh, I am so excited about that.
And he reached out to us via kevinandstuff.com.
How cool is that, Kevin?
Yes.
So cool.
Absolutely. Well, friends, our next guest is a professional newspaper cartoonist who has been creating a family-friendly comic strip called Zed for the past 28 years. During COVID, he wrote a romantic comedy feature film called The Green Oak Guardian, which is currently streaming on Amazon Prime. But like something straight out of a Hallmark movie, he agreed to have a production company turn it into a movie based on two conditions. One, it had to be filmed in his hometown. And two, he had to be cast in a supporting role. And to his surprise, they agreed to both.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Mr. Dwayne Abel.
Dwayne Abel!
Thank you very much. That was a wonderful introduction. My only job now is to live up to all of those amazing words.
Well, Dwayne, thank you for saying yes to us.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I'm curious, how did you come across Tell Us a Good Story? Like I said, you're a listener. You reached out to us via kevinandstuff.com. How did you come across us?
You know what? It was just sheer happenstance, because when I'm traveling, I travel a lot speaking to schools all across the country, presenting an assembly about goal setting, literacy, the importance of education. And when I'm traveling, I cannot stand listening to the radio. It drives me nuts. I always want to have a good podcast, and I want something positive and something from Ohio, which we share that in common. I had to dive in. I had to give it a listen. And boy, I was not disappointed up until this very podcast right here. I think having me as a guest is where you're going to jump the shark.
No, not at all. This is going to be fantastic.
So it sounds like you live and breathe Ohio. Like you're proud of your city that you're
your
from.
Small town.
You're proud of the state of Ohio. Where did that come from?
That came from my family. Most of all, it came from my grandfather. My grandfather loved his hometown so much. He loved his house so much that he lived in the same house his entire life.
Oh my God.
He just changed rooms every now and then.
Okay, so you're from Carrollton, Ohio. Where is that at?
Carrollton, Ohio is a little bit south of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. I always say, if you want to find the area, go to Canton, go south. When you start hitting cows, you're in the right neck of the woods. And as I described this to the production company, when they never heard what a Carrollton, Ohio was, I said, just imagine if a Norman Rockwell painting and Mayberry got into a fight and we don't know who won. That's my hometown of Carrollton, Ohio.
Oh, Americana at its finest.
I read about it. It's like less than 3,200 people, I believe.
And they all know who I am.
Right. I'm sure they do. I'm sure.
Are you a small town hero now?
You have to be.
Not one bit. I'm still Earl Abel's grandson, and my grandfather's been dead for 15 years. So,
I would think you'd be a hometown hero. Like, why aren't you running for mayor at this point with everything you've done there?
No, thank you. There are people that are much better suited to that kind of job, and I don't think I'm one of them. Whenever I speak to someone I've never met before, I always let them know in advance, I'm a cartoonist. I don't know how to do anything but talk too much and draw cartoons.
There's so much information about you from your website, from some articles. So I just want to do a list of fun facts, and that is going to jog your memory on some stories, okay? And Steph is not aware of any of these, okay? So we do this for all of our guests. Fun fact number one, Dwayne joined the ranks of professional cartooning at the age of 13, selling cartoons to several small magazines and regional publications. Okay, so how does that work? Do you just do a bunch of drawings, comic strips, and you just start sending them to all kinds of newspapers, magazines, and just hope that one connects? How does that work as a teenager?
So when I first started selling cartoons to magazines, they were small supermarket tabloids. Remember those? Those
yes.
are the ones that bought my cartoons about Bigfoot and aliens at McDonald's. You would just draw up 10. They're called gag cartoons. They're just one panel cartoons. You'd send them out into the world. And then a few weeks later, you would get a lovely rejection letter. And that happened over and over and over again. It happens so much that I tell kids now, I say, my parents gave me the greatest gift of all. They let me fail. Because every day I would come home, there'd be another letter, in essence, a failure, just waiting for me to open. So I developed a very hard skin to the point that I don't understand the word no, or I don't care about the word no that much. I just keep going until I hear the word yes. So eventually, after almost a year of sending out these cartoons with no hope in sight, one little magazine said, yes, we're going to buy your cartoon. They sent me a check. And in true Charlie Brown fashion, they spelled my name wrong.
Oh!
On the check. So, okay. So how many rejection letters, Dwayne, do you think you got before you got that first yes? Over 100?
Hundreds. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what I did was, what you're allowed to do was, you would make photocopies. And then once you used to be sent to one magazine, you might send it. This is back in the mid 90s, where there were magazines all over the country that were still publishing cartoons. It's dried up a lot since then, but you could send cartoons all over the place. So on any given day, there would be a pile of rejection letters just waiting for me with my return drawings.
So where did your love of drawing cartoons develop?
Oh, simple. When I found out there was a man in California and his only job was to sit in a room at a slant drawing board and draw Charlie Brown and Snoopy, Charles Schulz, I knew I did not want to be anything else the rest of my life. My course was set from kindergarten on. And that made me two things. It made me a very focused, very driven child. That's the good news. And the bad news is, it made me a very focused and a very driven child. Because whenever I told a teacher, hey, look, I'm never going to need this. First of all, don't ever say that to a teacher. Second of all, I was always right. So
as you're doodling in their class, right? All these pictures, I'm
absolutely
sure.
Now, did you always want to do like a comic strip cartoonist, or did you want to work for Disney or Hanna-Barbera, or what was that?
Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera. Yeah. Did you want to do anything like that?
Well, you know what? I never did. I always wanted to draw a comic strip. To this day, my heroes, the ones I look up to the most, are the ones that draw a newspaper comic strip. So whenever I hear that it's a dying industry, it's a dying profession, I don't necessarily believe that. It might evolve like anything else does, but there's always going to be a need for people wanting to have a quick 3 seconds of laughter, because the great thing about a comic strip, it's a purely American art form, number one, and someone pours their heart and soul into it for an entire day's work, just so you, the reader, has 10 seconds of laughter. And to me, I couldn't wish a better life for myself than to draw my comic strip until I can no longer put a pen to paper.
Okay, so next fun fact. At the age of 15, Dwayne walked into his hometown newspaper with the comic strip Zed. Dwayne soon was offered a syndication contract and became the youngest syndicated cartoonist in the country. However, right before launching the first comic strip, the syndicate went out of business.
No!
So again, all these rejections, you finally become the youngest cartoonist in the country, and then it kind of gets snatched away from you, right?
Hey, you know what? It could always be worse. It could always be worse. And I'll tell you why. I just found out recently, going through some newspaper archives, that my great-great-grandfather died at the age of 80-something in the 1930s. He died fighting a rabid ram on his farm. So, hey, as long as I'm not being attacked by a ram, it's a pretty good day. So,
to this day, do you still draw by hand? Or are you doing this on like a digital pad?
It's all done by hand. Whenever I speak and do my assemblies, I hold up one of my originals and I tell the kids, no computers, no scanners, no printers, no iPads, no Chromebooks. This was all done by hand. And I'll tell you why that's a good thing. Because last November was Charles M. Schulz's, would have been his 100th birthday. So the National Cartoonist Society asked all cartoonists, hey, if you want to dedicate your work this week to the memory of Mr. Schulz, that would be amazing. So that's exactly what I did for my weekly comic strip. And lo and behold, the Charles Schulz Museum saw my comic strip and they asked for the original. So I've only given away one original in my entire life. All the others I possess, I have them stored. But the one original I did give away, because it is drawn on paper, is now housed inside of my hero, the Charles Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
That's special.
Hello, friends. I'm Craig Clausen, and I help Kevin and Steph with all the tech stuff for the show. But today, I have a request for you. Kevin and Steph will soon be recording their 200th episode. In the podcast world, this is a big accomplishment. According to Forbes, only 8% of podcasts uploaded over the past week had created more than 10 episodes, let alone 200. And we want to celebrate with you. We would love for as many listeners as possible to give us a call at 614-699-0604 and leave them a voicemail. Let Kevin and Steph know what Tell Us a Good Story means to you, or tell them what's been your favorite episode or story, or just call to congratulate them. It's easy to do. Just give them a call at 614-699-0604, listen to the cute voicemail recorded by the Mason Kids, and then leave them a message. And even better, your message might appear on air for the 200th episode. I will put the phone number in the show notes for you, and please call by November 30th, 2023. And, as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Where do you get your inspiration from for your comic strips every week?
You know what? I don't claim to be the sharpest crayon in the box. So pretty much it's mostly sitting around going, okay, what dumb thing have I done this week? And I always get an answer. Always, without a doubt, something I did that was not the smartest. Or another little trick I use, I read this from Ray Bradbury, and he said, just write down 10 nouns, 10 things that come to your mind as fast as they can, and that's going to spur a little bit of a brainstorm, and that's all you need. Otherwise, I'm just sitting in a room tapping a pencil all day. You just have to put pen to paper and just go.
All right, next fun fact. Dwayne graduated from Carrollton High School before going to college on a full theatrical scholarship to the University of Akron, where, in his words, Steph, he majored in overacting and scene stealing. However, while in college, he toured in a one-man theatrical production as the school mascot, Zippy the Kangaroo. So,
you were Zippy!
Dwayne.
What?
Do you have any good stories from being the University of Akron's mascot?
Oh, you have to.
And how hot is it in one of those costumes? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I had a pretty sweet gig. They saw me in a musical, overacting and stealing scenes. I am shameless. And the next day I was called into the dean's office. And they said, hey, we have this program that tours elementary schools. It tours for about 2 weeks. We feature Zippy the Kangaroo. We would love for you to be Zippy. And I said, you know what? I'm really busy right now. I just don't know if I have the time. And then they said, you'll be on a tour bus with 10 female dancers. And I said, we should have led with that, but I'm listening. I'm ready. Let's entertain some offers.
Start with that first.
Right?
Okay, so do you have any fun interactions, right? Because we've talked to some people who used to be like Brutus the Buckeye.
And right.
He can't go 10 feet, right, without a child coming up for a picture or someone hold my baby, whatever. So what's it like when you're in character and you can't talk?
Well, the good news is I was in a controlled environment. I was presenting to students, so I wasn't getting rushed from all sides. But whenever they come up to you, your field of vision is a couple inches in front of your face. That's where the nose is. You can't look down. You can't look to the side. So if a kid comes up and hugs you, you might feel it. But when you bend down to look, you're going to hit him in the head with your nose. So right away, you feel terrible about doing that. Second of all, the tail has a little bit of weight to it. So if you start swinging your hips left or right in any direction, you're going to knock over kindergartners this way and that way. But how I trained to be Zippy the Kangaroo, someone found me at the university. They knew where I was going to be. And they dropped a big duffel bag in front of my feet. And they said, here you go. Febreze it once a week. That's all the training I got to be Zippy the Kangaroo. So the great thing is that whenever you see Zippy, whenever you go to a U of A football game and Zippy is laughing, Zippy is actually trying to push up his head so he can breathe, because the mouthpiece is right here. It hits you just above the sternum. So whenever you want to breathe, you have to push that head up grab puffs of air, and then you drop it back down. So there's a little trick right there. And also Zippy is, I think it's only one of two mascots in all of NCAA that is a female. Zippy the kangaroo is a girl.
I
didn't know that either.
I love that they tell you to Febreze your costume. Like, don't stink.
Oh my gosh.
That's the one thing we want. We don't want you to stink.
No kidding. And plus, with this guy, it would probably be tough not to talk.
Very much so. Very much so. But I'm used to being an overactor anyway, and you know, going talking to the back of the crowd. So to put on a kangaroo costume felt very natural to me. It didn't feel like anything was being inhibited too much.
All right, Steph. Next fun fact. In August, Dwayne celebrated the 28th anniversary of the comic strip series Zed. Zed currently appears in over 60 weekly newspapers nationwide and has been collected into several books, including two new Zed comic strip books that were released in September last month. So, on average, when you're doing a weekly newspaper, how many ideas, how many comic strips do you have to like pitch to a newspaper for them to use one or two? How does that work?
I don't pitch any to them. They're not my gatekeeper. They are my client newspapers. This is the product. This is what you agreed to run. So here it is. The only person I have to get by is my editor. And my editor is my wife, because I'm going to lay something on the line for you right now. The entire world of the Sunday Funnies as we know it is not controlled by cartoonists working from their homes. It's controlled by the spouses of cartoonists. They are the ones that are the editors. They're the ones that you have to pass muster with them. They are, as Stephen King put it, the ideal reader. Stephen King, he will not let anything go out into the world unless it's been approved by his wife. So if my comic strip doesn't pass mustard, it doesn't go any further. I just go back to the drawing board and have some new ideas and send them, give them to my wife, and she'll go, yep, that's the one, and off we go.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Steph. During the pandemic, Dwayne's travel schedule completely dried up, as you can imagine. And he got bored. So he decided to audition for some feature films that were being shot in the tri-state area and was almost immediately cast in an independent feature film titled Christmas Collision, which is on Amazon right now. So can you share with us, what is it like being on a movie set, Dwayne? We've never been on one. Is there drama that goes on? Do you have a chair with your name on it? Do you have your own trailer? How does that work?
Well, you know what? All the sets I've been on with a production company that I work with a lot, United Front Films and Garnett Films, they have zero drama sets.
Really?
Everyone there gets along. These are independent films. You are helping out as much as you can. Oh, and by the way, the next film, it's hoping to go into production in my hometown again this January. Knock on wood, we're hoping we can make that happen. It's another Christmas movie. So if you guys want to be extras, hey, come on up for the day. Come on up. You will be in a Christmas movie.
Are you serious, Dwayne?
Oh, I'm totally serious. Absolutely.
Steph.
We're going to make it happen.
Absolutely. Wait,
we're going to make that happen.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Steph, don't look at the camera. Just get like...
make sure I get my good side.
Dwayne, talk about scene stealing. This woman right here would be...
the first day I was on set, because I had never been on a movie set before, so I just stayed quiet as much as possible, and I tried to learn as much as I could. And they were making me up, so they make sure your hair is perfect and do your makeup, and then they wire you up with a microphone. And right before the director yelled action, the thought that rang in my head was, someone better ask me if I know what I'm doing, because I know the answer, and they're not going to like it. So I hope they just yell action and then we'll take it from there. I thought I was going to be found out the entire time, because it was a very small part. I was only on set for 3 days. And one of the reasons that the director, Lana Reed, told me that I got the part is because when I auditioned, I self-taped, just like I'm doing right now, off of my cell phone. And I had to have a reader feed me lines. And the reader that I had was my wife, Coral. I'm actually in her ballroom dance studio right now. And right before we began, I make sure to ask my wife, I say, are you ready? She said, yes. I said, are you nervous? Or do you need to take a moment? And she said, no, we can go ahead and go. And because I was nice to my wife, that's why I got the
really?
Part. They said, he's a nice guy. He wanted to make sure his wife was okay and not too nervous. Because even though she was off camera, my wife can get pretty nervous sometimes. So wanted to make sure she was okay first. So just from being a nice guy,
wow,
got me my first role in a movie. And then here's my master plan. I'm going to be such a nice guy on set that they're going to ask what else it is I do. I'm going to tell them I draw a comic strip. They're going to ask if I do any other writing. They're going to fall in love with me so much that they're going to want to see the next script that I write. And then they're going to love that so much, they're going to want to film it in my hometown. And long story short, that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
Wow.
That's literally my next fun fact, Dwayne. So he was the screenwriter, co-producer, co-star for the feature film called The Green Oak Guardian, which has been called by Rotten Tomatoes as one of the best romantic comedies to come along in a while. The movie was filmed entirely in Carroll County in the spring of 2022 and can be seen on Amazon Prime. Like you just said, they reached out to you and said, hey, is there anything else you've written? Can you take the story from there? Because I think you wrote for like 2 straight weeks or something, right?
Yeah. And I had 2 weeks because summertime was coming up. I had to make sure I got my writing done before my kids were going to be home most of the summer. So I dedicated 2 weeks, beginning of May, and I wrote from 11 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 hours a day. I did that for 10 days. And I was averaging about 10 pages a day. So I just wrote longhand. And then after 2 weeks, I had over 100 pages. And then I started typing it into the proper format. That's when it gets boring, because that's a long process, because I'm not the strongest typist in the world. That's another week on top of that. 2 weeks later, it was Memorial Day. And the producer, Mark Stewart, called me on the phone and said, we're going to go forward with this. And I said, great. When are you going to come up to Carrollton, Ohio, so I can show you around?
So you negotiated, it has to be in your hometown, and yep, you have to be a casting role.
Absolutely.
Was there any pushback on either one of those, especially in your hometown?
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, I'm not the smartest guy around. So I just invited them up for the day because I said, you know what? I just had this really weird idea. I think my neck of the woods is going to look beautiful on film. So I took them to specific areas that I knew would look beautiful on film. And those are the places that they saw. And most of those locations ended up in the final movie because they just fell in love with it so much and the entire community rallied around it. The best part is most of the funding for the budget came from most of the local business leaders in my neck of the woods. So all the executive producers were from my neck of the woods. They've known me my entire life as Earl Abel's grandson. So they trusted this project. They trusted my family name. And my only job was not to besmirch the good name that my family has given me up until this date.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. I want to know where your inspiration came from for The Green Oak Guardian. Like, where did that story come from?
The movie is all about a comic book character known as The Green Oak Guardian. And it's about to be made into a Hollywood live action feature film. And a hot young Hollywood talent is going to be cast in the role. And the creator does not want this actor cast in the role of the Green Oak Guardian. Here's the twist. The world thinks that the creator of the Green Oak Guardian is a grisly old cartoonist that lives in the woods. The actual twist is that the creator of the Green Oak Guardian is this grisly old farmer's daughter who is a single mother. And of course, the Hollywood actor and the female cartoonist who draws the hottest superhero have to fall in love. They have to get together. They have to break up. They have to fall in love at the end. It's a romantic comedy.
Oh, I love that.
So on set, I believe what I read was there were 30 actors and production people. Then there were 30 extras. Mm-hmm. But how long did you film this movie? It was just a couple of weeks, I think, right?
Yeah, it took filming was wrapped up within 15 days.
15 what? Days for an entire film.
Yep, they run a very efficient, a very tight ship. Sometimes they were working many more hours than I would have liked to, which is why I was so happy that they filmed in my neck of the woods. Because if I was up early going to set, by the time it got to be 5-6 o'clock, I'm an old man at heart. I got grumpy. So I would just say, oh, gee, I'm sure I need to go do something. My son has to be picked up from somewhere. So I'm going to go. I'll see everyone else tomorrow morning. Have a great night. Have a great shoot. Many more hours of work. Mwah. See you tomorrow. So that's why being a screenwriter is the greatest job on the whole film.
Wow.
15 days.
Wow, that's amazing.
All right. Final fun fact. Dwayne and his wife, Coral, are proud parents of two boys, Zachy and Clayton. And Dwayne was inducted earlier this year into the Carrollton High School Alumni Hall of Fame.
Oh, of course you were.
Of course you were.
Obviously.
It's like, what took so long? It only took us making a movie about our hometown, folks, for that to happen. But yes, you answered it earlier. I was going to say, you have to be the hometown hero at this point for bringing Carrollton into a movie. And I believe this is the first time Carrollton, Ohio has ever been spoken on film, correct?
By me.
By you.
Yep.
And then your goal is to have multiple movies in Carrollton, right? Across all the seasons?
Right. I want every single season represented on film, shot in and around my hometown of Carroll County, Ohio. Like I said, the next one is a Christmas movie, and we're crossing our fingers that we'll be able to start filming in January. The script is written. So we just have to get some investors and other financial things in place, and we'll be able to rock and roll in January.
That's awesome. Okay, so what was the feedback from people in Carrollton once they saw the movie? Were they very proud to get that on film? This is what the town was like in 2022.
For some, it was very surreal because this was their hometown, and I wanted it portrayed in a very good light.
Right.
And it has been the feedback has been absolutely wonderful. The love letters that we've been getting from viewers that view it all over the country and all over the world has been absolutely amazing. They're so nice. You would think my mother wrote most of them. The only feedback that we ever got that really bristled me the wrong way is there was a critic that said there's no way that a cartoonist studio is that clean. And I'm throwing up hands right now because I'm the one that dressed that set. I knew where everything was for the cartoonist studio in the film. And if there's a studio that's much cleaner than the studio that was on film, it's my studio. Cartoonists can be very neat. We don't have to adhere to the stereotype that we're messy cartoonists and things are strewn
everywhere.
About all over the place. I'm not that guy at all. That's the one critic that really bristled me the wrong way was coming at me and saying, oh, the studios are not that neat for cartoonists. Yeah, they are. I've been in one for 30 years.
Well, listeners, you can watch The Green Oak Guardian. Like we said, it's currently streaming on Amazon Prime. Also, for more information about Dwayne, you can go to social media pages. Instagram and Facebook is at Corky Comics. Also, his website is corkycomics.com. And we will put links in the show notes on our website so you can go right to those social media and web pages. So, Dwayne, thank you so much, sir, for reaching out to us and being a guest here on Tell Us a Good Story.
Thanks,
you're absolutely
Dwayne.
Fantastic. And yes, Steph and I are absolutely going to take you
100%
up on the offer. 100%! To be an extra.
January.
On January.
It's on.
Yes.
I'm already training.
Oh, you know, I'm the co-producer of the movie. I'm still trying to figure out what a co-producer is and what a co-producer does. But apparently, it lets me know that if I want an extra on set, hey, we'll make that happen. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
Count us in. Count us in, Dwayne.
You're there, Dwayne.
Plus, love to meet you in person, too.
Absolutely.
That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.